Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also carried on WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 99.55 kilohertz, Monday through Friday nights, Eastern Standard Time.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be, 101.1 FM, Eager.
This is the Hour of the Time, and I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, I know I told you that we were going to start a series on the brainwashing techniques developed by the Soviet Union and what they call psychopolitics, which is, in fact, the method in which they have been bringing down the United States of America. However, due to some events that have just transpired, I'm unable to do that this week, and we will begin that series on Monday. So don't think that you're not going to hear it, because you certainly are. In fact, you have to hear it in order to understand what's happening in America today, and why, no matter what we, the people, try to do, everything just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. It will all become clear to you. So today, we're going to do, again, some raw intelligence. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want
a new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Everybody wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashists make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold.
You get the shell. They want it.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. It is a big idea. It is a big idea.
Ah. Welcome to the hour of the time, ladies and gentlemen, on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon. If, after you hear this broadcast, you still think it's wonderful Tuesday afternoon, it might be, you know. However, most people live in a little cocoon, a little vacuum. They really don't know what's going on in the world around them. Most people, indeed, have the actual audacity to criticize politicians and government officials and policies on the national level. They don't even know what they're talking about. Because if you sit down and query most of these people, now mind you, I'm not talking about all of them, just most. If you sit down and query most of these people, they don't even know what's going on in their own hometown or their county or their state, much less on any kind of a national level. And that's pretty much the way it is everywhere. Did you know that in Goebbels, Michigan, a high school honor student, this is an honor student, a girl, who said she brought a knife to school to cut a friend's birthday brownies, was suspended for violating the school's weapons policy. This is a little girl, folks, an honor student, 15 years old. She brought a regular table knife, the same kind of knife you set your table with, because it was her girlfriend's birthday. She was bringing a casserole of brownies to school, and they had made an agreement that she would bring the knife to cut the brownies so they could celebrate her friend's birthday. How about that, folks? Guess how long she was suspended for? Should tell you something about the school superintendent. Exactly 33 school days. And if you know anything about the symbolism of the mystery religion and the Freemasonic Lodge, then you know that that's a significant number. Why punish this little 15-year-old girl because she brought a table knife to school by suspending her for 33 days because she wanted to cut her friend's birthday brownies? This wasn't a pocket knife, ladies and gentlemen. This was not a hunting knife. This was not a switchblade. This wasn't something that is used to kill people or hurt them or maim. This was just a regular old Onita-type kitchen knife. Suspended. 33 days. Clear the court. School justice today. How about that? Children are being suspended because they wear a coat. One girl recently was suspended from school because she wore a coat to school. There was a school rule against wearing coats because they said students would hide guns under their coats. Can you imagine that? The girl was cold. She was suspended. These types of idiotic, totally stupid, uncalled for, no-brained rules and suspensions are occurring all over the country. Now listen to this. This ought to get you. I was amazed when President William Jefferson Clinton said in his in his inaugural address that he wanted all school children to learn to read by the time they were 8 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, my daughter could read before kindergarten age. That's correct. She's 6 years old right now, and she is reading better than many adults can read. She is in the process of reading Grimm's Fairy Tales, not the children's version, the actual classic volume that you can find in your library. She's reading that, and she has expressed to me that she wants to read Jane Eyre as her next project, her next reading project. It was her choice, not mine. And so she will begin that as soon as she finishes reading Grimm's Fairy Tales. She will read the adult classic version in its unabridged entirety. Children are ready and willing to learn whatever we are willing to teach them. And if the child has a good teacher that loves them and helps them along and teaches them to think, not memorize by rote, the child will develop a wonderful mind. Now bear in mind that my daughter isn't any different than any other child in this country. She's just had a lot of attention from myself and her mother to teach her. I have actually had adults tell me, ladies and gentlemen, that they weren't teaching their child to read because the child wasn't old enough. I have seen children that have been totally ignored except to change their diapers, put a bottle in their mouth, give them some food, or laugh at them while they toddle around or whatever they're doing while they play. And nothing else is done to help that child develop their mind because, quote, they're not old enough, end quote. And there is no such thing as not old enough. The mind will develop and learn as fast as you are willing to work with that mind and to teach it and nourish it and help it along. Bearing in mind that young children have a very short attention span, you cannot expect them to devote long sessions to any kind of learning until they get older. So it has to be done in short periods of time, frequently during the day. And the way that you keep it interesting and make them want to come back is to never allow them to get bored or try to make your sessions so long that their attention begins to wander somewhere else. And always leave them with a challenge that is fun, that they will want to solve, so that when the next lesson begins, they will be there before you are, wanting to complete their lessons. You see, you don't give children enough credit. Normally, most people do not give children the credit that they deserve. And the current socialist, liberalist policies in our schools are destroying the minds of our young people. And not only do I know it, not only do conservatives and constitutional Republicans across this country know it, but the children know it also. This is from the Washington Post, a newspaper that I know did not want to print this story, ladies and gentlemen, because it goes against their own liberal policies. The Washington Post, by Renee Sanchez, Washington Post staff writer. Tuesday, February the 11th, 1997, page A22. That's today, hot off the wire, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this. Teenagers nationwide have issued a decisive verdict on their high schools. A new study reports that most think their classes are not challenging enough, often lack exemplary teachers, and are filled with too many disruptive students. The study, conducted by the national nonprofit group Public Agenda, sketches a portrait of American high schools in which most students are coasting without much effort through their classes and know it, and who view their years there as time spent to gain practical job skills and good work habits. Remember what I told you yesterday about Clinton's goal of preparing students for a life of work rather than a life of thinking and excelling and making a difference in this world? You see, this is called dumbing down. It's called destroying the minds of the young people of the next generation so that they can be ruled easily as slaves in the New World Order. The New World Socialist Utopian State. Listen to this. Quote, most students who were questioned as part of the survey said they liked their schools overall, but about 70% said that unruly students distract them and undermine classes. Also, 65% of students said they do not try very hard to succeed in class, and half reported that teachers do not insist on high academic standards. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it is well known amongst people who lead other people or teach children that people will rise up to the expectations that are set for them. And if a teacher does not insist on high academic standards, the students will not deliver high academic standards in most cases. Occasionally, you will find a student that doesn't care what the teacher expects and will excel simply because that student has been instilled with the desire to excel either through their own efforts or through the efforts of their parents or someone else. It continues. Researchers highlighted the comment of one California teenager who took part in the survey as typical of many student responses, illustrating how easy it is to earn acceptable grades without much work. Quote, I didn't do one piece of homework last year in math, end quote, he said. Quote, I just took the tests. I'd get A's on the tests, not do the homework, and I got a B in class. There's just lots of ways to get around it, end quote. The survey, titled Getting By, included the responses of more than 1,300 high school students nationwide who were selected randomly and interviewed by telephone. Most of them attend public schools. Small groups of teenagers also were gathered together at five sites around the country to discuss their attitudes about high school. The findings match those in other recent studies that found substantial numbers of students disengaged from learning. A survey of college freshmen nationwide, conducted annually by researchers at the University of California, Los Angeles this year, found that a record number of them, 35.6%, reported that they often were bored in their high school classes. The Public Agenda report also suggests that the priorities of most high school students are the same. They are eager to master basic reading and math, to work with computers and to gain values such as honesty and tolerance, but they often question the relevance of learning subjects such as history or literature. Wonder how that happened, ladies and gentlemen. Well, if they come from a home where everybody watches television, there are little or few numbers of books, and nobody sets an example of reading books, that's where it starts, I can assure you. This has been said to be the visual age, even though it is also called the information age. Most people would rather watch a videotape or watch television than read a book. Never mind the fact that the sum total of all of the wisdom and knowledge of the entire human race since the beginning of recorded history can be found only in books, not on television, not in videotapes, only in books. That is the truth of the matter. Those who fail to study history are doomed to repeat it. Somebody is falling down seriously on the job, and we have documented that in many of the broadcasts of the hour of the time. The problem goes directly to the heart of the National Education Association. And it's socialist agenda for the future of our children. In the survey, 75% of students said that learning computer skills was extremely important, but only 32% gave the same priority to learning history or geography around the world. Most students couldn't tell you where Afghanistan is if their life depended upon it. Nor could they point to the Balkans. Most probably, if you ask them about Guyana, would say, who? That's not funny, ladies and gentlemen. You have to forgive me. It's just that I deal with this so much that it has kind of a sick humor to it. Only 23% said that learning classics by Shakespeare or Plato was important. Studying modern American writers such as Ernest Hemingway or John Steinbeck ranked last on a list of subjects given to students to rate, and that's exactly where it should rank, because in high school, John Steinbeck and Ernest Hemingway have no place in the classroom at all. If those are to be studied, they should be done by an individual in their own off time or by specialized college courses for people who want to learn to be writers or journalists. I have read John Steinbeck and Ernest Hemingway, ladies and gentlemen, and while they appear to portray social conditions in particular periods of history, those conditions as portrayed by these authors are often slanted. Away from the real history. For instance, John Steinbeck in his great socialist film, The Grapes of Wrath, portrayed a condition of the Great Depression as if it affected all America in that manner. And the truth is, it did not. A very small percentage of the population was really significantly affected by what is called the Great Depression. Only 18% of them said that studying those works is extremely important. Teenagers see very little reason to study academic subjects such as history, science, and literature, the study concludes. They view most of what they learn in their classes, apart from the basics, as tedious and irrelevant. Still, researchers said they were heartened to find strong support among students for having tougher standards in class. 3/4 of them said they believed they would learn more and that school would seem more meaningful if they were pushed harder by better teachers. Unfortunately, the Socialist National Education Association has pushed the best teachers out of the education system because they won't adhere to the hard line of the socialist Marxist agenda, and they won't teach outcome-based education and such mind-destroying policies as that. The studies agree, ladies and gentlemen, that the students seem to be crying out for the adults in their lives to take a stand and inspire them. And that's what I've been telling you all along, for years. And unless you learn how to do that, you will destroy the next generation of Americans. You will destroy your children, and they in turn will destroy their children, your grandchildren. And this country, eventually, in the not too distant future, will be a dim memory in the minds of the New World Socialist Utopia. Now listen to this. I'm going to read this to you. This is from the Tribune, Fort Pierce, Florida, Tuesday, today, February the 11th, 1997. You wonder how I get all of these newspapers and newspaper articles? It's because I have a network of people that belong to the intelligence service and the CADGI news service who instantly forward to me all of the important news, developments, and many things that nobody ever knows about as soon as they get the information. Listen to this. The Tribune, Fort Pierce, Florida, Tuesday, February the 11th, 1997, page A7, opinion. McVeigh mother believes her son is innocent. Unwelcome attention falls on Fort Pierce woman following bombing arrest. Now, no matter what you think about Timothy McVeigh's guilt or innocence, I'm talking about his mother who has never done anything wrong. So listen to this carefully. The mother of Timothy McVeigh, the accused bomber of the Oklahoma City Federal Building, has a message for you. She hopes you never have to go through what she and her family have had to endure. Hopefully, none of you ever have to walk in our shoes, but if you do, be prepared for the media blitz, harassment, intimidation, and lies of many people who supposedly know it all, she wrote in an open letter to the public entrusted to me. And by the way, the me is not me, William Cooper. The me is Charlie Reese, who wrote this column. He goes on, so far as I know, I'm the only journalist Mildred Mickey Frazier has agreed to speak to since McVeigh's arrest about 2 years ago. The only prior public statement she made was 2 years ago when, in a written statement read by a deputy, she expressed her deep sympathy for the victims and their families. Frazier believes that her son is innocent. More on that in the next column, which means tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. After 2 years of being involuntarily thrust in the media government spotlight, however, she has very little sympathy for the press or the government. She recounts her frustrations in a long letter she handed me in her modest home in South Florida. It is written in the second person, addressing either the public or particular people she writes about. The letter is too long to quote in its entirety, but I will summarize some of it and quote the rest. After all, she's entitled to have her say. Frazier is especially incensed that it has been widely reported that she divorced McVeigh's father when Tim was 10 years old. When the first story appeared, she complained about the errors and was told they would stick by their reporters' secondhand information from a neighbor and other stories, making the same mistake in the electronic database. Now think about this. This tabloid rejected firsthand testimony from a principal involved in favor of hearsay. Tim's mom gave me a copy of her divorce papers. She was separated in 1984 and divorced in 1986. Tim was born in 1968. As she says in her letter, quote, "You do the math," end quote. Well, unfortunately, a lot of people are unable to do any math at all, much less this simple little problem. He goes on. Furthermore, she says in her letter that she did not leave Lockport, New York, where Tim and his father live, until 1989. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, Timothy McVeigh was 18 years old, not 10 as widely reported, when she divorced his father, and 21 before she left the small town where they both lived. Next, she addresses a Florida reporter who obtained the references she supplied to an employer. This reporter then called at least one of the people pretending to be a prospective employer and asked questions about her personal life. At the end of the conversation, the reporter told the woman who provided a reference that he had to inform her that he was a reporter with the local newspaper. Tim's mom writes, quote, "She immediately hung up and reported the incident to me. Deception and fraud," end quote. "And shame on the person in personnel who gave him my files," Frazier continues. "I hope you received an incentive for your deed. You should be fired." Then McVeigh's mom turns to an unnamed reporter in Lockport who she says has quit his job to work full-time on a book about her son and his family. Quote, apparently you have received an advance from somewhere to pursue your quest for fame and fortune. No one in my family has agreed to speak to you and will not in the future. I understand you are telling people otherwise. You had better check and double-check your so-called facts, end quote. The next part of the letter tells about people talking about her in the stores and neighbors watching her every move. She writes, quote, then a woman goes up to another neighbor's house up the street and tells him, I quit. I am tired of spying. And he retorts, then you will go to jail, end quote. Remember, Frazier, a working woman in her early 50s, is no millionaire celebrity who gets paid to be hounded everywhere she goes. She's just a working woman and mother trying to lead a normal life. McVeigh's arrest for the bombing caused an explosion in her life so that she was suddenly the focus of attention not only by the national press, but also by government agents. In the next column, Tim's mother will talk about the government and the question of McVeigh's guilt or innocence. Now, note the Mildred Frazier is a resident of Fort Pierce. And the next column with this information will be out tomorrow, and I will obtain that information as soon as we can and read to you what it says. But you see, isn't it strange that as soon as she begins to write what's on her mind and tell people that she believes her son is innocent and that she is being harassed by people, by the press, and by the FBI and by the government, listen to what happens, ladies and gentlemen. Fort Pierce, the Tribune, Tuesday, February the 11th, 1997, page B2. Police committed the mother of Oklahoma City bombing suspect Timothy McVeigh to New Horizons of the Treasure Coast Sunday after she was brought to Longwood Regional Medical Center. Police said Mickey Frazier, 52, of Fort Pierce, had exhibited psychotic behavior at her home, according to her friend Mona Lawless. Lawless brought Frazier to the hospital. After emergency room personnel examined her, police took her to New Horizons under provisions of Florida's Baker Act. Also in another news story from Staff and Wire reports from the Associated Press, his mother complained in a recent letter to a Florida newspaper that she was being harassed by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and by reporters. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Don't you think that's a little strange? I do. I think it's a lot strange. Now, this next blurb I'm going to give you, bear in mind that it is the position of the Intelligence Service of the Second Continental Army of the Republic Militia. It is the position of William Cooper and of the Hour of the Time that all American citizens already have the constitutionally protected right to keep and bear arms in all states all of the time, period. Here it is, National Right to Carry Reciprocity Bill, Tuesday, February the 11th, 1997. It's official. Representative Cliff Stearns, Republican, Florida, has introduced House Resolution 339, the National Right to Carry Reciprocity Bill, H.R. 339, would allow citizens permitted to carry firearms in their home states to carry firearms in all other states, including states that currently prohibit carrying concealed firearms, such as Kansas, Nebraska, and Ohio. And they want you to call your United States representative. And I got to tell you, if your United States representative and the United States Senate do not recognize or know that the right to keep and bear arms is protected by the Constitution for all American citizens, what good do you think it's going to do to call them? Can anybody out there tell me that? They're already in gross subversion and violation of the Constitution for the United States of America. And I mean gross violation. Even the police departments and sheriff departments do not know what the Constitution says, although all of them are required to take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution for the United States of America and for their state before they can assume office, even as the lowest police dispatcher or sheriff's dispatcher. Yet they do not know what the Constitution for the United States of America says, nor do they recognize the limitations placed upon them by that Constitution. You don't believe so? How many of you read in the newspapers that certain police officers and sheriff's deputies have been asked to turn in their firearms because they have been convicted in their past history of some kind of a misdemeanor involving domestic violence? And you all know how bogus that can be, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you have read such articles? And then how many of you have read the Constitution? Number one, it is against the law to pass any law governing or restricting the right of the people to keep and bear arms. That is protected by the second article in amendment to the Constitution for the United States of America. Number two, ladies and gentlemen, the Constitution prohibits passing any law that is retroactive to anything that occurred before the law was passed. How many of you knew that? I don't really understand what's wrong with most adults in this country that they can't read and understand plain, simple English. Written by men who did not have one eighth the education that the average adult has in this country today over 200 years ago. What is it about Americans that makes them absolutely stupid when it comes to reading and understanding the very founding principles and ideals upon which this country was based? I don't understand it. Maybe you could write me a letter and to clarify it for me. See, the Constitution is clear. It is so easily understood on these points that it is absolutely impossible to misunderstand it. You cannot pass an ex post facto law. And any law governing the right of the people to keep and bear arms is unconstitutional and therefore unlawful on its face. How about that?
Suicide, you make me suicide. Damn, I'm afraid.
hour of the time, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They specialize in non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets, real money. You see, most Americans have never read the Constitution. If they did, it was so many years ago they've forgotten what they read. And most of them, when they didn't read it, didn't understand it anyway, although it's written in the simplest of English that you can possibly imagine. It is clear. Congress is given the power to coin money. It doesn't say anything about printing money. It says coin money. The Constitution forbids states to pay their debts or tender in payment of debt anything other than gold or silver coin. It doesn't say Federal Reserve notes. It doesn't say paper money. It specifically says and limits them to and requires that they tender nothing other than gold or silver coin in payment of debt. And yet, many of you say, well, you know, why do we pay any attention to that? It was written over 200 years ago. Because it's the supreme law of the land, you dummy. That's why. It is the government. They call those of us who support the Constitution and are pledged to protect and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic, some kind of wacko terrorist nuts. Anti-government. Ladies and gentlemen, it appears that we are the only ones in this country today who are pro-government, who understand the government, who are prepared to die in its defense if we have to. Anyone who is against the Constitution or who is operating outside of the restrictions of the Constitution or blatantly against the Constitution are anti-government, not me. And not any other American who is in support of constitutional Republican government. For instance, were you aware this is not a democracy, never was? Were you aware that the Constitution guarantees to every state and every citizen a constitutional government? Now, let me go a little step further. You know why it guarantees a constitutional government? Because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land that defines what constitution and what government is. The Constitution further stipulates and guarantees to every citizen and every state a republican form of government. It doesn't say anything about democracy anywhere in the document. V.I. Lenin talked about it a lot, though, and so does every Marxist and socialist in the world. V.I. Lenin says, democracy is indispensable to socialism. Haven't you noticed that they stopped calling this government a republic a long time ago, and now everybody refers to it as a democracy? Because it almost is, and when it is, you will find socialism knocking at your door, not democracy. And not representative government, but eventually dictatorship is the way it goes. And to do that, they have to demonize everybody who is in support of true constitutional republican government. They have to destroy us. They have to destroy anyone who would not agree with this socialist utopian world state that is coming. It's just on the horizon. It's almost here. And so they have to demonize those religions that support constitutional republican government, such as Christians. Listen to this. This is from the Daily Oklahoman, a socialist rag newspaper, if I ever saw one in my life. Quote, white racists use Christian name. Expert warns of groups' growth, end quote. Groups calling themselves Christian might not necessarily be advocates of the Golden Rule. An expert in anti-government and white supremacist organizations warned Monday. You see, these are all buzzwords that they use to destroy those who support constitutional republican government. I have been called a white supremacist by the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, by Jesse Jackson, and by many other people in this country. By the Arizona repulsive, in fact. Now, many of you listening to this broadcast in the Round Valley read the Arizona Repulsive, and I know that you have read many articles about me, William Cooper, the man whom William Clinton called in a White House memo the most dangerous radio host in America. Why? Because I tell the truth. But Bill Clinton does not tell the truth. The New York Times does not tell the truth. The Los Angeles Times does not tell the truth. And Jesse Jackson is one of the biggest liars that's ever walked upon the face of this earth. And the Arizona Repulsive has very seldom in its history ever told the truth. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't be a white supremacist in a million years. Not under any circumstances whatsoever, for I am part Native American. What most people call American Indian. I am married to a full-blood Chinese woman, and I love her dearly. My children are the product of this union. They are part English, Scotch, Irish, Native American, and they are half Chinese. And they are the most beautiful, most intelligent children that you're going to find anywhere. Thoughtful, well-mannered. And for their age, better educated than most children 2 or 3 years older than them. All of these buzzwords, get a little tongue-tied once in a while. Try talking constantly for 2 hours, reading from notes and newspaper articles, and you will too. So please excuse me when I get a little tongue-tied. So these buzzwords are used to demonize certain segments of American citizens, so that you, the sheeple, will not listen to us anymore. There's a great number of sheeple out there who believe that if somebody's a white supremacist, they have nothing to say, and you should never listen to them. Or if they're a fundamentalist Christian, you should never listen to them. Or if they're a constitutionist, you shouldn't listen to them. Or if they belong to a republic, you shouldn't listen to them because they're bad. Or if they belong to a militia, you shouldn't listen to them because they're bad. Or if they're a patriot, you shouldn't listen to these people because the press, the communist news networks, the socialist-controlled people in this country who foment public opinion are teaching you that all of the people and all of the ideas and principles and ideals which has made this nation the greatest in the world with the best standard of living and, up until they gained control, the best educated people in the world. Are bad people and are not telling you the truth. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is not the truth. Listen to this. From the Daily Oklahoma, listen to this demonizing of Christians. Any Christians. See, what they're teaching you is that the word Christian is bad, and people who call themselves Christian or belong to the Christian church or who are Christians are also bad. Bad people. Just like militia members and patriots. When did the word patriot become bad in the United States of America? And people who believe in constitutional Republican government, when did they become anti-government? That's an oxymoron. It doesn't even make sense. But yet you've all been listening to this crap, and you're all absorbing it, and you're all believing it because you're not using your own brain anymore. You have lost the ability to think critically. And most people have not had an original thought in many years. Listen to this. Groups calling themselves Christian might not necessarily be advocates of the Golden Rule, an expert in anti-government and white supremacist organizations warned Monday. So there In the very first sentence, they have linked groups with the word Christian, with anti-government, and white supremacist. And they go on, anti-government and white supremacist organizations using the designation Christian are growing throughout the country. Oh, brother. And then she says, DeCamp said those alleged conspiracies include theories that the federal government was behind the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. They're already starting to admit it. They've already admitted it, that they knew the building was going to be blown up in advance. They did nothing to stop it. Nothing whatsoever. We've proven this in the encyclopedic work of Michelle Marie Moore called Oklahoma City, Day One. Now, she's going on further to link the word Christian with white Northern Europeans who believe they are God's people, the true Israelites, she said. They believe people of other races are an inferior subspecies. Then, guess what? She links it directly to Timothy McVeigh. DeCamp said she is apprehensive about next month's trial of Timothy McVeigh, one of the suspects in the Oklahoma City bombing. You see, none of this has anything to do with any other of any of this. She starts just linking words together with everything bad and terrible that you can think of so that the next time you hear the word Christian, you will be repulsed by it. And that is the goal. That's really what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. These people are experts at propaganda. They are chronic, despicable liars. You cannot pick up a newspaper in this country except for Veritas and maybe one or two others that tell the truth and let you decide for yourself what to think about it. You see, there isn't a journalist in this country who is really a journalist at all or a reporter. They are scum-sucking, Nazi, socialist, puke-faced, lying pigs, and that's the truth. They are subversives who are bringing down this country. And when you read their crap and you haven't got the brains or the common sense to pick it apart like I just did that and understand exactly what their intent is, you're helping them. You see, the job of a reporter or journalist is to print the facts objectively and let you make up your own mind about what those facts say. You can't find a newspaper article in this country, except in Veritas and maybe one or two other countries, that presents the facts objectively as they are and lets you make up your own mind about what it says. And I thought this was a country of free people who recognize the freedom of others. Oh, no. You're being taught to demonize certain segments of this society so that when they decide to destroy them completely, you'll be desensitized. You won't object. You'll say what many so-called Christians said when the government murdered all of those people in Waco, Texas. You'll say, oh, they were just a bunch of religious fanatics. They probably deserved exactly what they got. Can you imagine a Christian saying that? Well, I heard not one, not two, not three, but several. Many, in fact, Christians say that. I saw the city of Waco, Texas, put up a huge billboard beside the highway. See, I was down there broadcasting from Waco, trying to tell the world what was going on. Not many people listen. On this billboard, the city of Waco, Texas, put a huge thank you note to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and the FBI for all the money that they brought to Waco, Texas. That's not the America that I was reared in. Those aren't the American people that I have always believed were American people. Those are not the people that I want to associate, and to this day, I will drive for 500 miles out of my way to keep from going through the town of Waco, Texas, because I don't even want to see one of those scum-sucking people that put up a billboard like that after all of those people were killed, simply because they chose to have a church out of the norm in a country that prides itself upon religious freedom and, according to the government, did not pay a $200 tax on a machine gun, which, according to every investigation that's been conducted, they never had in the first place. If they had had a real 50 caliber machine gun, ladies and gentlemen, the BATF would not have survived their initial assault, and every one of them would have been dead before 10 minutes passed. And everybody who's ever fought in a war and seen what a 50 caliber machine gun can really do knows that that is true. The truth is, they didn't have it. And even if they did, you don't kill a whole church full of people because they didn't pay a $200 tax. And you don't hold a church full of people hostage because you're after one person who's in the church who has never shown any violent tendencies, never hurt anybody in his... Well, that's not really true, because he was in a gun battle with the previous head of the church and did wound him, but was not a violent person. Was known for taking walks and jogging into town. Whenever the sheriff had called him, wanted to see him, he would go in and see the sheriff. You know, I would really like to devote a lot of hours to Waco, Texas, but I'm not going to do it. Just not going to do it. Instead, I'm going to read you an eyewitness account of, I can't do that yet either, because we're coming up on the top of the hour. So I'll tell you what we're really going to do, folks. We're going to take our break. And we're going to do that right now. This is the Voice of Freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also carried on WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 9955 kilohertz, Monday through Friday nights, 5 until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be, 101.1 FM, Eager.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the second half of the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, the man that William Jefferson Clinton named in a White House memo as the most dangerous radio host in America, and Rush Limbaugh read that memo on the air in an attempt to shake the label of right-wing extremist radio host from his back, which he never had that title anyway, folks. He sits on half his brain and keeps you spinning around by feeding you pablum, from which many people never seem to recover. They become ditto heads. Well, I try to teach you how to think, ladies and gentlemen, and I challenge you. Listen to everyone. Read everything. Believe absolutely no one, including me, including your own mother, unless you can prove it in your own research, in your own investigation. You must learn to do that, because this is the age of deception. And who is the great deceiver? Well, I'll let you figure that out for yourself. This is an interview conducted with an eyewitness of the explosion of TWA Flight 800. The man's name is Tom Doherty. He said that he first heard two booms. First was likely the explosive release of the missile. Second was a sonic boom, traditionally caused when a supersonic missile breaks the sound barrier. But both could have been sonic booms. Tom then saw the missile shoot upwards from the ocean, which was behind a sand dune in front of him. He saw it shoot in another direction briefly, and then it corrected itself, flew straight into TWA Flight 800, and the rest is history. Tom said, quote, "This was the strangest thing I ever saw," end quote. And in fact, others also witnessed this strange glowing. Reuters News Service said on the July 18, 1996 dispatch, quote, "Witnesses said the plane glowed in the night sky before it erupted in a fireball and crashed," end quote. A kinetic kill warhead caused such massive impact force, the plane's skin was cooked as kinetic energy converted it to heat. This cooking cooked the center fuel tank, causing it to explode seconds after impact. That's the impact of the missile, not the impact of the plane. Tom Doherty said, quote, "Everyone calls it a missile theory, but when you see what I saw, you know what you see, and I didn't see a theory," end quote. That's just another one to the hundreds we already have. And I should correct that so somebody doesn't misquote me. Actually, we have over 300 people who witnessed a missile hit that plane. A little over 150 of them can be called unimpeachable, credible witnesses. And 50 of them you could probably put up on a pedestal and say that they could not be disbelieved under any circumstances. But it doesn't make any difference when you have that many witnesses. Who cares? They all saw a missile hit TWA Flight 800. When is the government going to admit it? Probably when the next ice age occurs. Now, if you've listened to our series on Mystery Babylon, you will be interested in this, especially if you're engaged in research into the subject. And if you're not, just go get a drink of water. Because if you're not, you won't even understand one word that I'm reading here. And I will be reading it. This is from Linda in Maryland. Just in time for Christmas, there's a new book out called Bloodline of the Holy Grail, The Hidden Lineage of Jesus Revealed. Now, that's the title. That's not what she says. It's by Lawrence Gardner, the Chevalier Lebrun de Saint-Germain. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Those of you who have studied the mystery religions and the secret societies are probably drooling over that one, aren't you? There's also a foreword by Prince Michael of Albany. Now, I'm going to read to you the cover notes and the foreword, which are pretty, quote, illuminating, end quote, in and of themselves. And she says, I might follow up with additional material. It's a loathsome creature, yet I cannot look away. Signed, Linda. Well, thank you, Linda. I really appreciate this. Listen to this, folks. Now, I'm reading directly from the end notes on the book and from the foreword. Nothing from me or Linda is in this. Bloodline of the Holy Grail. Did Jesus marry and have children? If so, what happened to his family? Are descendants of his still alive today? At last, the truth can be told. This extraordinary and controversial book, packed with intrigue, begins where others have ended. Lawrence Gardner has been granted privileged access to European sovereign and noble archives, along with special insight into chivalric and church repositories. He proves for the first time that there is a royal heritage of the Messiah in the West, and documents the systematic and continuing suppression of records tracing the descent of the sacred lineage by regimes down the centuries. This unique book gives a detailed genealogical account of the authentic line of succession of the blood royal from the sons of Jesus and his brother James down to the present day. It casts penetrating new light on the Bible story and onto the enigmatic figures of Joseph of Arimathea and Mary Magdalene, and on the real truth behind the Arthurian legends and the Holy Grail. There is also a fascinating history of the Knights Templars of Jerusalem. Of course. Now, here's the foreword. Well, first, let me give you the little blurb about the guy that wrote the foreword. Lawrence Gardner, prior of the Celtic Church's sacred kindred of St. Columba, is an internationally known sovereign and chivalric genealogist, distinguished as the Chevalier Lavrin de Saint-Germain. He is presidential attaché to the European Council of Princes, a constitutional advisory body established in 1946. He is formally attached to the noble household guard of the Royal House of Stuart, founded at Saint-Germain-en-Laye in 1692, and is the Jacobite historiographer royal. Now, before I start the foreword, let me explain a couple of these terms to some of you who don't understand. He's the prior to the Celtic Church's sacred kindred of St. Columba, and which means he is the ultimate arbiter of the dogma of British Israelism. He is an internationally known sovereign and chivalric genealogist, which means he studies the family trees of the royalty of the countries of Europe. He is distinguished as the Chevalier Lavrin de Saint-Germain, which has extreme esoteric meaning for those of you who have studied it. He is the presidential attaché to the European Council of Princes, a constitutional advisory body established in 1946, which means he has input to the decisions of governments in Europe. He is formally attached to the noble household guard of the Royal House of Stuart, which has extreme significance in the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, and he is the Jacobite historiographer royal. Jacobite was the name in the late 1700s, early 1800s for the actual order of the Illuminati. So there you have it. So listen carefully to what he writes, because this guy is not someone that you want to ignore. Here is the foreword. I will read it verbatim as it is written. Quote, Bloodline of the Holy Grail is a remarkable achievement in the field of genealogical research. Rare is the historian acquainted with such compelling facts as are gathered in this work. The revelations are entirely fascinating and will surely be appreciated by many as real treasures of enlightenment. Herein is the vital story of those fundamental issues which helped to shape the Christian Church in Europe and in the Crusader states. To some, perhaps, aspects of this book will appear heretical in nature. It is the right of any individual to take this view, since the inherent disclosures are somewhat removed from the Orthodox tradition. However, the fact remains that Chevalier Lavrin has penetrated the very depths of available manuscripts and archival data concerning the subject, moving far beyond the bounds of any conventional domain. The resultant unveiled knowledge is presented in a very articulate, interesting, and tantalizing manner. This work offers an incredible insight into centuries of strategic governmental alignments, together with their associated deceits and intrigues. For around 2,000 years, the destinies of millions of people have been manipulated by unique, though often whimsical, personalities who have perverted the spiritual aspirations of our civilization. With marvelous detail, the author has removed the constraints of vested interest to relate numerous suppressed accounts of our heritage. In doing so, he resurrects the politically silenced history of a resolute royal dynasty which the Church has long sought to vanquish in order to further its own ends. Now, in this new age of understanding, may the truth prevail, and may the, quote, phoenix rise once again, end quote. H.R.H., Prince Michael of Albany, head of the Royal House of Stuart. So, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I advise you, if you're into this kind of thing, seek out the Bloodline of the Holy Grail. I wrote in my book years ago that the Illuminati and the socialists would attempt to destroy Christianity, and what better way to destroy Christianity than convince the world that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross, was not raised into heaven, and is not ever going to return. So, do with that what you will. I was right once again, folks. I hate to keep saying this, and I hate to be constantly right. It's not because God whispers in my ear. It's not because I have a crystal ball. It's not because I have some super brain. I'm just no different than anybody who's listening. I just woke up a long time ago when I became a member of the Office of Naval Intelligence and began to see top secret information that the public's never going to see. Based upon that, I thought I'd better get the hell out of the Navy real quick, because these people are engaged in the subversion of constitutional Republican government and bringing about a world totalitarian socialist state. And there's no secret about that in the intelligence community, ladies and gentlemen. And so I did. I got out of the Navy, and I began researching all that I had seen and discovered, and it has led me to this time and this place and this mission. I am a messenger. I am a messenger, ladies and gentlemen. Heed my message. Listen to everyone. Read everything. Believe no one unless you can prove it in your own research. And then do that research. Jesus admonished us, "Seek ye the truth, and the truth will make you free." And I'm telling you right now, he did not tell us a lie. It's the greatest truth he probably ever spoke, and you had better listen to him. He also said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." Are you listening to me? Now, the next subject is the National Rifle Association, who have thoroughly blown it. Not only have they been arguing all the wrong arguments in defense of the right to keep and bear arms, but they seem to be hell-bent upon the intentional sabotage of the Second Article and Amendment and the destruction of the right to keep and bear arms for American citizens. If you're a member of the NRA, you had better start writing letters and tell them you want the current leadership out of office now. Not tomorrow, not next week, but now. Because these people are doing you wrong. You see, the National Rifle Association has now joined the United Nations. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. They have joined the United Nations. Oh, I can just see some of you out there just calling me every kind of name in the book. Couldn't possibly be true. Bill Cooper is some kind of wacko. Well, it is true, ladies and gentlemen. I got this directly from the National Rifle Association. Directly from them. Listen to this. National Rifle Association gains recognition by United Nations. The National Rifle Association's application for recognition by the United Nations as a non-governmental organization of the United Nations was approved this week, giving gun owners a strong voice in the United Nations debate over global gun control. Need I say any more? This is the United States of America. It is a sovereign constitutional republican government, answerable to no United Nations. Period. What is the NRA doing joining a world governmental body that wants to subvert and destroy the sovereignty of all independent nation states and become the seat of world socialist totalitarian government? Anyone who does such a thing is recognizing their authority and is carving out another chink in the sovereignty of the United States of America. And don't tell me I'm against peace. I'm for peace, folks. Legitimate peace brought about by legitimate debate, openly, not in secret, not through lies and deception and manipulation, but through the truth, and only through the truth. I am not against world government. If world government is brought about through honest debate, through honest truth, based upon a constitutional republican government, which is the only type of government, and our Constitution for the United States of America is the only document in the history of the world that has ever set men and women free. Until this country was created, no man upon the face of this earth, except kings and queens and priests, ever even came close to being free and responsible. So now they're saying, well, who's listening anyway? Here's another one, directly from the NRA, National Rifle Association. They've already screwed up. They've already lost most of their membership. They've argued the wrong points. They've given in and allowed anti-gun legislation and registration legislation and Brady bills and who knows what else and gun bans to be passed. Every time they do that, they take more power away from the people, and the people get closer and closer to slavery. Here's what they say, quote, the National Rifle Association of America expressed its thanks yesterday to the distinguished representatives to the United Nations Economic and Social Council for their approval of the National Rifle Association's application for status as a United Nations non-governmental organization. If I was from New York City, I would... You would have heard a big raspberry right then. But I'm not. Just heard from the Patriot Matchmaker. By the way, girls, all of you single women out there who have not written in to join the Patriot Matchmakers organization, if you haven't done that, you're really missing out. Because I, you know, and believe me, the Patriot Matchmaker has not paid me any money, has never asked me to advertise her service whatsoever. She's a very pretty woman. Her name is Marilyn. She has put together a service that that it has been needed for a long, long time by patriots and people who love constitutional republican government, because it's hard to find a mate. If you don't have a mate that thinks like you do or believes in the principles and ideals that you believe in, your union is not going to last, whether it's just a friendship or a romantic interlude or whether it's a marriage. It's just not going to last. So when I saw that she was doing the service, I promoted gladly from my heart to help people get together that need to be together. And I was looking through this. You don't get a copy of this unless you're a member or unless you're somebody like me who's just helped her out. I see in here Patriot men whom I recognize as being prominent leaders in the Patriot movement looking for a woman to spend their life with. I see their pictures. I recognize some of them. And I'm not going to tell you who they are because they might find it embarrassing. But if you're a woman and you are lonesome, or you would like to find a man who believes as you believe, I would encourage you to write to the Patriot Matchmaker and ask her for information. And the way you do that is write the Patriot Matchmaker, P.O. Box 1000. That's easy to remember. P.O. Box 1000, Craig, C-R-A-I-G. That's Craig, C-R-A-I-G, Colorado, 81626. That's the Patriot Matchmaker, P.O. Box 1000, Craig, Colorado, 81626. Or you can phone 970-824-5911. That's 970-824-5911. Now, folks, this is not an organization that you want to join or belong to if you're just looking for a one-night stand or a romp in the hay or something like that. These people are serious people. The men and women who belong to the Patriot Matchmaker Service are serious people. They're looking for a lifetime mate. They're looking for someone who believes in the principles and ideals of Republican constitutional government and the ideals and principles upon which this country was founded and what made this country great. They believe in freedom. They believe in individual responsibility. And they're not somebody that you're going to take advantage of very easily because they're all free thinkers. they are usually well developed in their character. And I'll tell you what, you get out of hand with one of these women or one of these men, and they'll put you in your place in a second. they're wonderful, wonderful people. But they're not somebody that you want to toy around with. And you certainly don't want to toy around with their heart. So please don't even try it. So call 970-824-5911. And believe me, folks, Marilyn doesn't even know I'm doing this. She has not asked me to do it. She has not paid me to advertise on this radio broadcast. She has placed a little ad in Veritas newspaper in the next issue. And it has nothing to do with what I'm doing here. Okay? Period. Absolutely nothing. I'm doing this because I know. I travel around this country and I speak at your functions and I talk to you, and I know that there's an awful lot of lonely people out there stuck in socialist bastions or New Age communities that just cannot find a suitable mate. So, excuse me, folks. The address I gave you was wrong. Is that the wrong phone number, too? Connie just came in to tell me that I gave you the wrong address and the wrong phone number. Apparently, she has just moved, and I didn't know about that. So, excuse me, please. Let me give it to you again. This is the correct address and the correct phone number. And Marilyn, what are you doing sending me stuff that's got the wrong address and phone number on it? Shouldn't be doing that. Here we go. The Patriot Matchmaker, care of P.O. Box 1111. It's four ones. Can't go wrong. The Patriot Matchmaker, care of P.O. Box 1111. Frederick, F-R-E-D-E-R-I-C-K, Colorado. Postal Zone 80530. That's the Patriot Matchmaker, care of P.O. Box 1111. Frederick, Colorado, Postal Zone 80530. The phone number is area code 303-833-2016. That's 303-833-2016. And if you didn't get all that down, folks, then call Connie sometime tomorrow during the day or right now if you want to, and she'll give you the she'll give it to you so you can write it down. Okay? So anyway, I want to read you this. It's in the back of the Patriot Matchmaker little bulletin here that has all the pictures and the descriptions of people that, you know, if you join, you might be interested in. But anyway, I want to read this in the back here because I think this is interesting. It's called An Interplanetary Love Story by Jerry, number M113. I guess that's his membership number. And listen to this. We met in a dark, smoke-filled little tavern dome on Ganymede, just outside the dilithium mining colony. I was eating an Ionian soy burger and drinking a Jovian dark ale. I could hear the gravity generator straining, barely able to maintain half an Earth gravity. No wonder I felt lightheaded and giddy. Suddenly, there she was. Our blue eyes met. The electricity crackled and the chemistry between us boiled. We were married that night in the chapel dome by a non-denominational robo-pastor. I in my metallic silver shuttle commander's jumpsuit, and she in her scanty metallic gold waitress costume. Sure, it was quick. Maybe too quick. But in space, I learned life is fast. Life is tough. I don't remember much about later in the Hilton Dome's honeymoon suite. I vaguely recall thinking she didn't have blue eyes at all, and that I'd seen prettier eyes on an Arizona rattlesnake. I remember wishing I hadn't had that Jovian dark ale. But love comes so seldom. Next morning, we blasted off for Earth, she in first class on her Instapass and I up front in the left seat. We only had one day together on my central Missouri emu farm. The video phone beeped annoyingly as I carried her across the threshold. It was crew scheduling with another trip. With my meager seniority and all the cutbacks, I could only hold back-to-back Mars shuttles. So off into space I went. When I got home 8 months later, she was gone. Gone. Gone also were my brand new 2017 Chrysler Electro Car LX with genuine emu skin seats, my virtual reality home theater, and my money. On the floor was her scanty metallic gold waitress costume around a large wrinkled reptilian skin and a pair of blue contact lenses. I'd seen this before. This was a Venusian serpent woman masquerading as a human. I was stunned, but I counted my blessings because in space I learned life is fast. Life is tough. After all, I still had my emu farm, my rusty 96 Ford pickup and my rusty 95 diesel tractor. I still had my health, and I still had my pride. By golly. The moral of this story is that love is a powerful force not to be denied, but never, never, never marry someone not from your home planet. And never make important decisions when you've been drinking Jovian dark ale under low gravity conditions. It brings nothing but trouble. Of all the space stations in all the world, she had to come into mine. Oh, sometimes it's a lot of fun doing this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I enjoy it, don't you?
Everybody knows that the boat is sinking. Everybody knows that the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling. Like time that mama or the dog just died. Everybody's hands are in their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rule. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They specialize in real money, constitutional money, money according to the law. And if you don't have some of that, you are very likely to end up in a very bad situation should this, as they all do, paper money system eventually collapse. Our research shows that it's not far from that right now. Could happen any moment, as a matter of fact. It's just nothing but a lie. And anything based upon a lie is nothing but another lie. Until finally you have a mountain of lies. And if anybody just reaches down and pulls one of those lies off the bottom, the entire mountain of lies collapses in upon itself. And that's what ultimately has to happen with lies. Tomorrow afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear again, probably in the, well, we'll probably do it the first half of the broadcast and take calls the second half. You're going to hear Stephen Jacobson's Wake Up America. And if you've never, ever heard this before, you've got to listen because, folks, it is the very best education on money, economy, and what really makes everything work that you could have had, can have now, or ever will have in your life. It explains it all in a very simple manner, which allows everybody to become instant experts on something they've never known anything about in their life, although most people think they do. Nobody, except a very few, know anything about real money and how economics and economies works. So tomorrow, don't miss it. The first half of the Hour of the Time is going to be Stephen Jacobson's fantastic lecture on money that's going to open your eyes and make you say, whoa, how come I never knew this before? Well, you never knew it because you never bothered to learn it. Nobody ever bothered to teach you. And that's the truth of the matter. So don't miss out on that, ladies and gentlemen. In the meantime, call Swiss America Trading at 1-800-289-2646. Ask for a free copy of the newsletter. Tell them that you're a steady listener to William Cooper in the Hour of the Time, and you'll get red carpet treatment, I guarantee you. Ask them how you can get your hands on some real money, and do it now. Do it now, ladies and gentlemen. You'll believe me. When this all comes down, and it's going to, if you don't have some real money, you're just going to be totally destroyed. And I don't know how else to put it. I mean, I'm being bluntly honest with you, and that just happens to be the truth of the matter. So 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. If it's easier to remember, call 1-800-BUY-COIN, and don't procrastinate. Do it right now. Of the Time. I'm William Cooper, the man William Jefferson Clinton, the great socialist liar that occupies the White House, named in a White House memo as the most dangerous radio host in America. And I gotta tell you, folks, anybody who wields the sword of truth is dangerous to any socialist that lives upon the face of the earth. It just happens to be a basic fact of life. much to the great dismay of all of the socialists in the world. Now, I want to tell you that the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network has all kinds of special programming that it wants to do. And I have never before done this and don't want to do it, but I have to. If we're going to get this network off the ground, we have to provide programming. The only thing holding it back is not the cost of the network or the satellite or anything like that. We have absorbed that. Those of us involved in this have over the years sacrificed tremendously to do the things that we do in order to help wake up the American people. The phone bill is absolutely incredibly crippling. I just got the phone bill the other day. It was $1,280-some-odd, folks. I cannot absorb that. I cannot do it. I will not do it. I will not take what little food we have on our table off the table to do this. So I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to have to make this a voluntary contributing effort. And for every hour of programming beyond what we normally have now, somebody is going to have to send $10 to pay for that hour on the phone with the satellite uplink. We'll take care of all the other costs and equipment and satellite payments and all of that kind of stuff. But you, the listening audience, if you want to hear more broadcasting on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network on satellite and on the affiliate stations around the nation, and we have fantastic programming to give you, we just can't do it because of the cost. So, if you want to make a pledge and send $10 or $20 or $30 or $40 every single month and specify that it is a voluntary donation to pay the uplink phone cost for special programming on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, then we'll certainly do it. For every $10 we receive, we can give you 1 hour of additional special programming. And I think that it's important that we do that. I think it's so important that we do that that I am throwing away my policy about taking donations for this. And as long as it's for the phone and for nothing else, we will accept your donations. It will go in a special fund, and that money will pay only for telephone costs for each additional hour of broadcasting above and beyond the normal broadcasting that the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network normally provides. So if you're interested in hearing more broadcasting from the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network internationally, across the country, on our affiliate stations and on satellite, then please make your pledge, and you don't have to make it to me, make it to yourself, and then follow through and do it. Each and every month, send whatever you can afford, and for every single $10 that you send, I pledge to you that we will give you 1 hour of extra programming on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Okay? So that's the pact that we have just made together, and if you agree that this programming is important, please make your pledge to yourself and send us your contribution each and every month. And please, folks, don't make me have to get on this microphone and beg for you to send in your donation, whatever you have pledged to yourself, because I won't do it. I just will not do it. What will happen is I'll just cut back on the programming that is not funded, because I can't pay these huge phone bills. I just can't do it. I have two children and a wife, and everything that we own already has gone into our efforts to wake up the American people and educate them, and we do without an awful lot of things, ladies and gentlemen. So just make your pledge and stick with it, because I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to get on here every month and beg for you to send in a contribution if you want extra programming. And conversely, if you don't send in a contribution for extra programming, don't complain if we can't provide it. That's just a common sense request there. A postcard. Dear Bill, great show on Buddy Holly February the 3rd. It was a real treat. I was singing along and dancing all night. The best part was listening to you doing something that made you so happy. This is from Ellen in Massachusetts. Well, thank you, Ellen. I really appreciate that. We got an awful lot of calls and mail thanking us for the special broadcast that we did on Buddy Holly, which was, by the way, 9 hours long. 9 hours. And we played every single recording that he ever made, and we didn't play any of them twice. Now, some of the songs were the same, but the recordings were absolutely different, sometimes with different musicians, always, or usually, I should say, in different studios. But we played every single recording that he ever did, including many that nobody had ever heard before that were never placed on record or played on radio. So, I want to thank all of you who sent cards and who called and expressed your appreciation for that broadcast. I enjoyed doing it. It was an awful lot of fun. Here's another letter. Dear Mr. Cooper, I wanted to take time today to write you a note and say thank you for all the services you provided to the public over the last few years. It has been some time now since you were manipulated off the WWCR schedule, and I have not heard anything about any new agenda you might be involved in today. One thing I have noticed, though, is the change that has occurred these last few months in talk radio hosts, as all nationalistic speakers have been removed from the airwaves. The one thing I will say concerning your show, sir, is that I learned the relevance of one's creed and the mysteries religion as to how the offshoots of the latter operate subversively in today's world as the driving force of all political events. I fear that your show will be difficult to air further, as you are a dangerous person. You are probably one of the very few existing today that speaks the truth. In addition, your paper Veritas I found to be extremely dangerous in the content and detail of its articles. I suppose no greater compliment could be given. I am convinced that if Veritas could be updated to include world events and distributed on a periodical basis of 2 weeks or less, it would be a leader in today's marketplace, as there is definitely a place for such a publication. I close in saying thank you again for the services you have given to our once great country. You have had a remarkable impact upon millions of people, I myself being one of them, and I believe that there are many more just like me. I hope someday to receive a note in my mailbox that the hour of the time is again on the airwaves where it deserves to be for all to hear. Best of wishes to you and your family in the coming years. Maybe someday we will meet in the future at some business function, and I can say it personally while shaking the hand of one of the last true Americans. Until then, if ever, take care. Sincerely, R.D., and I'm not going to say his last name. P.S. During the last year or so, I have been researching the Iran-Contra situation. It concluded in a white paper with the hypotheses that all the world events of the latter years of the 1980s were driven by the economic recession which existed during this time, and it goes on and on and on. He's going to send me a copy, and I would appreciate receiving that copy. And yes, we are on the air, and we have sent him off a letter to tell him that we are once again on shortwave, although we never left the air. We just left shortwave for a short period of time. Now, Britain does not want to accept a European single currency, and they don't want to join the European Economic Union. They're putting their hopes in a referendum, but I don't think the British public is going to make the right choice in that referendum, and I'll tell you why. They're being bribed. They're being bribed, ladies and gentlemen. And it's amazing. The president of Toyota says that further investment in Britain will depend upon the United Kingdom joining the economic unions or the European Union's single currency. The English want to hold a referendum, but folks, it will only be held if the British government wants to take Britain into the single currency, and in that case, the Yes campaign would, of course, have all the resources of the propaganda machinery of the government's agenda. And it's in that context that the importance of the recent remarks by Hiroshi Okuda, the president of Toyota, should be judged. You see, it's bribery is what it is. On 29th January, Okuda warned that if Britain fails to join Europe's economic and monetary union, Toyota would be less likely to invest further in the United Kingdom. In other words, they're saying, you know, if you don't join, kiss Toyota goodbye. And he also said Toyota's investment would decrease in the facilities that they already have in England if Britain opted out of the European Economic Union. And he said, quote, if we were to make fresh investments, we would prefer to make them in continental Europe rather than in Britain, end quote. Now, what makes this important? Because his warning comes right on top of others. Last year, BMW chairman Wolfgang Rietzel said that Britain would be far less appealing to inward investors if it were to stay out of the single currency. And then in January, ladies and gentlemen, this year, Jürgen Gerolds, the chief executive of Siemens PLC, said that he did not think the German group would have begun a 1.1 billion semiconductor plant in 1995 if it had felt that Britain would stay out of the European Economic Union over the long run. You see, foreign companies, ladies and gentlemen, invested an estimated $18 billion in Britain in 1995. So in any future referendum on joining the new European currency, even the most ham-fisted government, backed as it would be by comments such as these of Okuda, Rietzel, and Gerolds, is going to find it so easy to scare the living hell out of the British public into believing that the choice was between joining EMU or losing their jobs. And in a socialist country like England, that's right, I said it right, most Americans don't know it. They've never been to England. They think they know what England is. England is one of the most sorry socialist states in the world. And the English people pay most of the money that they earn, no matter what level of society they live on, back to the government in taxes to pay for this rampant socialism. There is no freedom of speech. There is no Bill of Rights. The English people are living in a... I've got to tell you this. I've been to England. I've seen. I've listened to them, folks. They are not happy people at all. So it will be very easy to scare them into accepting this based upon the fact that they're going to lose their jobs if they don't. In actual fact, the reality of it is the real threat to jobs comes from joining this single currency, not from remaining outside of it. It is, in fact, Europe's engine of mass destruction, this European Union. But it must face the political realities. The bottom line is that the next British government, probably, most certainly a Labour government, is going to be subjected to the most incredible pressure to take Britain into the single currency, not only from Britain's partners in Europe, but also from these giant multinational business leaders. And you say, well, business is not for socialism. Well, that's what you think, buddy, because socialism is the best way to gain monopolistic control of markets and to control vast masses of population and manipulate them into doing whatever you want them to do. And these big multinational business leaders are all for world socialism. Believe me. Well, don't believe me. You go out and check it out. Then you can believe me. Any British government proposing to take Britain into the single currency is going to be unlikely to lose a referendum given the immense resources and propaganda that it's going to bring to its cause, folks. So you just watch this closely because it's important. Also, I've got to tell you that our intelligence analysts who have devoted a lot of time and effort and quite a few months to the Middle East situation and to what's going on in the world, have just handed me a report that tells me, ladies and gentlemen, that we are on the verge of a terrible war in the Middle East, and I believe that it's going to be coming soon, and the United States is already beginning to shift supplies and military units and equipment into the area. Israel is preparing for a full-blown war, and it looks certain to me. And I'll be talking more about this later on in this week, giving you specifics. But at this time, I have no other choice but to predict that sometime in 1997 there's going to be a terrible war erupt in the Middle East. I don't know what's going to come out of it, but war is never pretty anyway. We have been watching the movement of troops and equipment from the United States to the Middle East, and everything that we see points to a war imminently. And so keep a good watch on that. And folks, don't send your children over to die in some godforsaken sands for somebody's agenda of which you know nothing about. And don't say it's patriotic or it's in defense of our country. Don't fool yourself. If you do allow them to go and send them over there, at least admit to yourself what you're really doing. And what you're really doing has nothing to do with the Constitution or freedom or with being patriotic or supporting your country at all. If they go over there to fight a war, it's because of agendas and interests which you know nothing whatsoever about and probably never will in your entire life. You want to be patriotic? You want to support this government? You want to be a real American? You stand up and support constitutional Republican government right here in this country. Stop being a chicken plucker. Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid that you're going to get on somebody's list. Because pretty soon, if more people don't stand up and speak out and fight for constitutional Republican government and for the creator endowed rights protected by that Constitution that all Americans have as a birthright, then it won't be long that you won't have any of it at all. And then you'll be wondering what happened. Well, if you're honest with yourself, you already know what's happening. And if you listen to this broadcast for very long, you'll know how it's happening. There's another indication of government control in the Oklahoma City bombing, folks. Representative Key of the Oklahoma legislature wants to impanel an Oklahoma grand jury to investigate what happened to the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. And he is right in his assumption that he can do it. And the prosecutor said that he would not oppose it. But now he is actively opposing it. When asked why he shifted his stance on this, ladies and gentlemen, his name is Bob Macy. He said, quote, "They won't let me not do it," end quote. And he is appealing the decision to allow the grand jury to go ahead. When asked why he's doing that, when he specifically assured everybody that he wouldn't, he says, quote, "They won't let me not appeal it," end quote. And when asked who they is, he won't say. He will not say. But we know who they is. Don't we, Governor Keating? Don't we, William Jefferson Clinton? Don't we, Mr. Free, Director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation? Don't we, Central Intelligence Agency? We know who they is. We've already exposed your participation in this thing, and we'll continue to do so. Unfortunately, it has to come to that. Heartbreaking, actually. You know something? I got to tell you, folks. If I'd have known when I was a young man in the Air Force and in the United States Navy that things were going to happen as they have, and this country was going to be subverted and destroyed from within, I would have formed militias back then and started the battle when we had a chance to win easily. Unfortunately, I was pretty dumb back then. And if anybody had told me what I'm telling you now, back then, I would have punched him in the mouth. That's how stupid I was. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you, and may God save this great republic.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door.
Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Throw out your arms. This is Benoit Passage. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. Did you got a complaint? Stay in the back.
Get out of this house. Serve your guns. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want it to hold.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land. And Clinton saying take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of Buffalo of Reich, Clinton's preparing us for another huge pack hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, creates a panic and rapes the nation. Order. Crisis creation. Incite black and white program agitation.
Don't resist! You're surrounded! By the UN in white and brown, the ATF, the men in black, of the One World Order.
But it's not new! Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilation. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah. Vaccination biochip, milk carton kit, genetic engineering. Clinton says her health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood.
Or who?
Masonic mind manipulation. Inciting riots is crisis creation. Biochip implantation. Vaccinate your kid for UN identification.
This is a test for all of us. So I have today just one simple request. A comprehensive package of healthcare benefits that are always there and can never be taken away. Ever be taken away.
Atmospherism, social illusion, media hype, planned confusion,
Masonic religion, it's a liar, got you praying for a Luciferian Messiah.
This is the Voice of Freedom. By the way, folks, I said Bob Macy was the federal prosecutor. He's not. He's the district attorney. I want to make sure that that's corrected before you turn off your radios. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also carried on WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, Monday through Friday nights, 5 until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 99.55 kilohertz. Folks, if you live in the Round Valley, Springerville, Eager area, and you want to go out tonight and have the best food in town, go to Los Dos Molinos. Tell Antoinette I said hello. That's my favorite restaurant. They've got the hottest food in the world there. It's also the best in the Southwest. Authentic New Mexican food. They also have some dishes that are not hot at all. So if you don't like hot food, don't believe all the rumors you hear. Just go and tell the waitress to point out to you on the menu which of the dishes are not so hot. And she'll be happy to do that for you. By the way, this is not a paid advertisement. Antoinette and Los Dos Molinos don't even know that I'm doing that. You see, I believe in communities helping each other. You're never going to hear any paid advertising on 101.1 FM, except for network programming of the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. And that programming, including my broadcast of the Hour of the Time, has absolutely nothing to do with the financing or the efforts of 101.1 FM.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be, 101.1 FM, Eager.
We now return you to All Oldies, Most of the Time.
Topic.